Amen. Could you find 3 John in your Bibles? 3 John. And our text for today will be verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. 3 John, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. And if you're able to stand, I'd ask you to do that as I read these verses in your hearing. And then we together ask God's blessing on our time. Again, reading from the ESV, it reads, "The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. Verse 3, for I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Amen. Father, we need you. Remember us. Meet us now as we come to your word. Make your word for our hearts living, active, and sharper than a two-edged sword. Work in us, work through us, work for us, for we need your help today. In Jesus' great name we pray. Amen." Our subject for today will be just slightly different than it's listed in the bulletin. Our subject is a beloved friend. A beloved friend. The value of a book of the Bible is not dependent upon its length. The value of a book of the Bible is not dependent upon where it's located in the canon, nor is the value of a book of the Bible its subject matter. We believe that all Scripture is given by God. All of it. We believe that all of it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction and training in righteousness. Correct? Yes. Now we are going to apply a principle that Jesus taught regarding disciples. We're going to apply that principle to these 3 letters from John. Jesus said in Matthew 10 that the last shall be first, and the first last. He also said in Luke 9, I believe, that the least among you is the greatest. We're going to take that principle as we look at these letters today. Because there's a tendency, some of you may have never even read 3 John, because you probably haven't viewed it as that significant. And so, we're going to take a look at it first. See what God has to say to us. Now, these 3 letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, were probably written by the Apostle John. We can't say that dogmatically, we can't say it emphatically, but more than likely, they were written by the Apostle John. 3rd John is unique from 1st and 2nd John, in that 3rd John actually concerns and addresses 3 individual church members. 3 individual church members. You see one of them in verse 1, that's Gaius. The second church member in verse 9 is Diotrephes, and then the third church member in verse 12 is Demetrius. And so this letter is unique in that regard, and you need to remember that. That there's a reason that this letter addresses and concerns these three church members. So we have to keep in mind that the church is not just a blob of folk. The church is made up of individuals. Now, I want to make one last introductory comment. 3 John is also unique in that it is actually written to a church member. Written to a specific church member. His name is Gaius. All right? I kind of divided these three verses up into three principles, okay? Three principles that I believe John was laying down here. The first principle is loving in truth. The second principle is praying in truth. And the third principle, as he calls it, walking in truth. All right? Loving in truth. Praying in truth and walking in truth. So, let's begin with verse 1. This is the principle of loving in truth. Look at verse 1. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Now, love is essential in a friendship between a pastor and a church member. Love is essential in a friendship between a pastor and a church member. John is writing as a pastor and close friend of Gaius. Now don't confuse the two. He's still a pastor with the authority of a pastor, the responsibility of a pastor. He just has a close friend in the church. And this principle, for those that sometimes that troubles people. But Jesus himself had different relationships among the 12. And so it should not trouble you to find different relationships between church leaders and individual church members. Christ himself did it, modeled it for us, and we should expect it. Because the church is not just a glob of people. The church is individuals. Yes? Yes. So love is essential. And so this pastor uses the word beloved. Said in verse 1, the elder to the beloved Gaius. That word is to agapito. You hear that? Agapito. You hear the word agape in there? Beloved. He calls him beloved, and it means a prize and a valued relationship. That's what this was. This was a prize relationship between this pastor and church member. He says it again and again. He says it in verse 2, beloved. In verse 5, beloved. This was a close friend. Now, it appears that Gaius is very influential in this church, but not necessarily a church leader. All right? Now listen to me. So a pastor's closest relationships is not limited to other church leaders. Does that surprise you? Now, church leaders have a close relationship. Don't say what I didn't say. I said that the pastor's closest relationship is not what? Limited to church leaders. So, love is essential in a friendship between a pastor and a church member. And listen to me. Friendship. Real friendship. Truth is also essential in a real friendship between a pastor and a church member. You see how he says it? The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. John, Pastor John, needed someone in whom he could confide and trust to handle the truth of God in this church. That's what a church leader needs in a friend. Somebody who can handle the truth, even when it's ugly and not pleasant. The truth. Because the truth is designed to change the pastor and the church member. And real relationships handle some difficult things. Real relationships go through some messy things together. But the truth is what will guide real friendships. So John needed someone that would handle the truth in that church, a faithful and courageous man. The pastor needs a friend who he can trust to be faithful to the truth, the Word of God. Faithful to the Word of God. When it means telling the pastor the truth, the pastor needs someone who is not just a yes man. You didn't know all that was in 3 John, did you? Pastor needs a man of conviction, a man of passion, a man of loyalty. Just think about a few verses. You don't have to turn if you don't want to, but listen to Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times. Did you hear that? A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. That's the kind of friendship we're talking about. Proverbs 26, verse, let's see. Proverbs, 27, verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Yeah. Sometimes friends have to wound each other. The truth will wound, but the truth is what will set you free. You see, the Bible, faithful are the wounds of a friend. They may hurt right now, but those wounds are for your good. That's the kind of friendship I'm talking about. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Verse 9, all in perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. That's what I'm talking about. Real counsel, real help, not just what I want to hear. But it's based on what? Truth, not just your opinion. Truth. This means you need to know what the Bible says and what it means. If you're going to be someone's friend, true friend. Opinions just don't cut it. Listen to Ecclesiastes 4. Verse 9. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. How many leaders have you seen fall because they are isolated themselves? They're trying to protect themselves, protect their reputation. You can't hide from God. Because what's done in the dark will come to the light. It's better to have someone walk with you. A real friend that can handle the truth. Again, two lie together, they keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Amen. Now, I've served as a pastor in three churches, including here at New Hope. And I can tell you that God has faithfully given men in every church as true friends. Men of kindred spirit who I could confide in, who I could trust and seek counsel from. Men who share the same vision. Men who love Christ, who love His Word, who love God's people. Faithful men of conviction, of passion and loyalty. What about you? Do you have that kind of friend? Do you have that kind of friend in this church that loves Christ? Do you have that kind of friend in this church that loves the Word of God? The kind of friend in this church that'll tell you the truth? And vice versa, the kind of friend that you can speak the truth to. See, it's mutual. Mutual. Friends need each other. Do you treat your friend or your friends as prized relationships, as valued relationships? Do they know that they are valuable to you? Tell you like one man once told me, do you tell them? Don't just assume they know. Do you tell them? Shouldn't just assume that good friends are going to always be around. You know something else I noticed? John was a Jew. Gaius was a Roman. And you know enough history to know that Jews and Gentiles had a barrier, a wall of separation. But the gospel tears down walls that would normally separate people. So your closest friend may not be like you. They don't have to have the same economic status as you, same education level. Your closest friend, if you married, may not be married. See, in the kingdom of God, it breaks down these traditional stereotypes. You never know who God intends to send to help you. And if you got these walls built up, you're praying and asking God, and He's already sent help. But it wasn't to help you on it. You didn't know all that was in 3 John. So, I say this to you. If you have such a friend like this, you need to thank God for giving you a true friend of friends. But if you don't, you need to pray and ask God, why not? The problem may not just be other people. Is that possible? So that's the first principle, loving in truth. The second principle I see here then is praying in truth in verse 2. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. Praying the best for your friend. That's what we see here, praying God's best for your friend. John, Pastor John, had asked God for the best for his friend, the best physically, the best spiritually. And that's what we want, right? We want our friends to have their needs met. We want our friends to be healthy. We want our friends to grow spiritually. Amen. That's what we want for our close friends. Any Christian will pray the same way for a true friend. We want God's best for them. You know, I discovered an interesting little passage in Psalm 35. You don't have to turn, just listen. Psalm 35, right in the midst of David talking about friends that turned on him. Have we all of us have experienced that at some time, right? That's the other thing about friendship. You got to be willing to risk getting hurt. You got to be willing to risk. If you're going to have close relationships, you got to be willing to risk it, because everybody that gets in close doesn't mean you're good. But you can't put up walls just because you got hurt once or twice. So right in the middle of David talking about friends that hurt him, listen to this, Psalm 35:13. But I, when they were sick, I wore sackcloth. I afflicted myself with fasting. I prayed with head bowed on my chest. I went about as though I grieved for my friend or my brother. As one who laments his mother, I bowed down in mourning. Why? He wanted relief. That's what true friends do. They want you to have relief when you hurt. But listen to me. We pray for God's best for our friends, but we must also pray according to God's will. Amen. The same John said, if we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. If we know that he hears us and the request that we've asked, we have that request. So praying for your friends must be in accordance with God's will, not just what we want. Yes? Ultimately, we know that God is the only one who really knows what's best for our friends. Isn't that right? God is the only one who really knows. And here's the fact. Some friends are going to suffer physically and still grow spiritually. Just because we pray and ask doesn't mean that God plans to do that. It's still right for us to want it. You understand? Until God makes his will known. Now, once God makes his will known, you need to let it alone. Yes. Some of our friends are going to suffer physically and still grow spiritually. God knows what's best, and we must trust him. So my question to you is, do you pray for your friends this way? Or do you just broad brush them in your prayer? Lord bless them. What exactly does that mean? How would you know if he did? You have not. Why? Because you ask not. We got to be willing to ask rightly. Do you pray for your friends this way? We should never assume that the best is simply going to happen to our friends. God wants us to pray. God expects us to pray. And so the question is, do you pray for your friends? So that's loving in truth, praying in truth, and then the last principle I see there is walking in truth. Look at verses 3 and 4. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Walking in the truth is a cause for a glorious testimony. You have a glorious testimony when you walk in the truth. Now, here's the thing. See, these visiting missionaries had gone to Gaius's church. Now, everybody at the church didn't treat them well. We'll learn this later on. Everybody didn't offer them hospitality. Everybody didn't try to even meet their basic needs. But Gaius did. And so these missionaries have gone back to Pastor John, and they've told him how Gaius was walking in the truth. Gaius was faithful. In other words, they watched Gaius' lifestyle, and his walk matched his talk. He believed, and he obeyed the word of God. Listen to me. This never goes unnoticed. Some of you students, I know that it appears that you're just one of thousands upon thousands, wherever you are in your progress in life, on campuses or in your school environment. You may think you're just one in thousands upon thousands and you're not making a difference. God is saying to you, if you're a Christian, your faithfulness to Him never goes unnoticed. Now, in this particular case, we're talking about faithfulness within the church. Gaius's faithfulness to God is so different that it stands out. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way that somebody simply being faithful to God stands out like this, when this is what God calls all of us to do. But the fact is, it never goes unnoticed. In spite of the disobedient church members at his church, in spite of the false teachers, Gaius still obeyed the truth. These missionaries told John that Gaius had a good testimony for Christ. People are going to talk about you anyway. We all agree with that? Folks in the church are going to talk about you anyway. You might as well give them something good to say. Even if they don't say it, they're thinking it. So give a good testimony for Christ. Obey the truth. Be like Daniel. Remember when Daniel's opponents, they were looking for something, right? Looking for something to hang Daniel on. Got to find something to tear him down. But they said, we can't find it unless it's in connection with his God. That's the way it ought to be. Have a good testimony for Christ. Prove our love for Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And then finally, not only is walking in truth a cause for a glorious testimony, it's a cause for great joy. See how John said it? I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Gaius's lifestyle was a great encouragement to his mentor and friend, Pastor John. And I tell you, one of the greatest joys of a pastor, one of the greatest joys of a teacher, One of the greatest joys of a counselor or a parent or a friend is to see someone that you taught obeying God. Isn't that true? No greater joy than to see someone you spent time and effort counseling and teaching obeying the Word of God. No greater joy. Friendships between believers must never be trivialized. And I don't know about you. I don't know if you've taken some people for granted here at this church. But I want to say to you today, if you have done that, stop it. Friendships should never be trivialized, but they are to be prized and valued relationships. You know how Jesus said it, him who has been faithful over a few, a little thing will be faithful over much. It could be that the reason you don't have more friends is because you haven't been faithful with the ones that you do have. Friendship should never be trivialized. Christian friends must pray God's best for each other. Christian friends are a great source of joy and encouragement to each other. Therefore, we must love our friends in truth, pray for our friends in truth, and live before our friends in truth. Amen? So then, my brother, my sister, we can all agree that each one of us needs someone. We need a faithful friend, a valued, a prized, a special friend in this life and in this church. We need someone that we can hear with our own ears and touch with our own hands in this life, in this church. But we also must all agree that every Christian already has the best friend there'll ever be. Is that right? We already have. If every one of your friends walks out on you, if you are a believer in Christ, you have the best friend there'll ever be in Jesus. There is none like him. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. Is that true? None other can heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Oh, and then he goes on to say, you are my friend. Is that good? Did you hear that? You are my friends. But now wait. He said, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Right? Now don't just get overjoyed when I say you are my friends. Listen to the whole statement. You are my friends if you do what I command you. There's no friend like Jesus. And if you're here today, if you are a Christian, if you know Jesus today, then you know you have a faithful friend in him for all time and eternity. If you are a Christian, you know that Jesus is also, he's love. He, You love him because to know him is to love him. Why do we love him? Because he first loved us. But you must love Jesus in truth. You must pray to Jesus in truth. And you must live before Jesus in truth. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior and your friend, today is a good day for you. If you don't know him, if you don't have Jesus as your friend, this is a good day for you to trust him. This is a good day for you to believe in him. Only this is the simple gospel for you, my friend. Jesus says, only believe. That's it. Only believe, and you'll have a friend in Jesus. Only believe. You don't have to leave here today wondering about a friend forever and ever. And if you're considering membership in a church where we are learning to live as friends of Christ, where we are learning to live as friends of each other, we'd love to have you join us. We'd love to have you come and grow with us and learn these matters together. Learn how to love friends together. Father, thank you for your great grace and care. Thank you for your tender mercies. Thank you for the friend we have in Christ. And thank you, Lord, for giving us special friends in this life that we can hear and touch and counsel with and grow together in grace. You have been faithful to us. Help us, Lord, to be more faithful to you and more faithful to each other. We thank you for the privilege of being in the kingdom, growing in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. Would you seal these truths to our hearts now, that we might be all the better? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's take a few minutes to contemplate these matters and